Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. We've got an amazing guest, Annie Bernstein, NBA photographer extraordinaire, talking NFL, NBA, all that and more, coming up next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh.
Whoa, I like it. All Lakers, right?
All and Lakers. I mean, it's our warm-up song. We have to pick this one.
Yes. Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jill Laughlin. I'm here, by the way, with co-hosts, amazing co-hosts, Becky Sotero and David Bloom. And we've got in the hot seat, Andy Bernstein, a good friend of us and the show now.
So good.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, it's exciting to have someone in studio. You know, a lot of time we have people call in, so it's so nice for you to drive on out here to Burbank and
Yeah,
join
I was
us.
Just kind of wandering around Burbank and I figured I'd stop
I was like, I know you come in.
It's perfect. So I know it's off season right now, Andy, but you know, a couple little things happened in the off season with the Lakers. A guy named LeBron James will be there. What are your thoughts going forward? I mean, this is going to be an exciting season.
Wait a minute. LeBron, what, where
do you know him?
Did you not know?
Yeah.
I've been under a rock. No.
Right.
I know. LeBron apparently, James. Apparently he's on the Lakers now.
Yeah. Right. And it's kind of a big deal.
The LeBron James?
The LeBron James.
Oh, my God. I thought I was going to retire.
And finally, the Lakers got a great free agent that, you know, and a big signing that they've been wanting for so long. And they finally got it this off season.
Yeah.
So it was great. You know, I'm happy for the Buss family and being with the Lakers for 12 years. So it was nice to see that. And Andy, you know, I mean, you have to be, you know, excited for the Lakers, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled. I mean, it's been a little bit of a drought these last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, even with Kobe retiring and it kind of getting the energy back now at Staples Center is fantastic. This is literally my fourth era of Lakers, really. I mean, I came in at Showtime.
I knew that.
Then it was the Shaq and Kobe era. Then it was Kobe by himself, 2009 and 10 with those championships. And now I guess we can call it the LeBron era.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't we?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I know you have covered the NBA and the Lakers, you know, for so long. It's probably hard to say what would be one of your most memorable moments through all these decades.
Yikes.
Or one that you could kind of like, or maybe there's a story behind it. Here we, you know, you can see Andy here with
so good.
Just a couple of, you know, lenses. Yeah. And
that's basically.
That was during the finals, right?
A basic setup. Yeah, this is a few years ago, so it's missing a few items. But I basically do about 12 cameras a game. And that's every single game, home or away. So we have to schlep equipment, you know, all over the country or whatever. But memorable moments, you know, I was there.
Or even a funny moment, something, you know, interesting that our listeners would want to know about.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I was really lucky to be there when the Lakers beat the Celtics finally in 85 in the Garden, which was unbelievable. And then, you know, when Shaq came to the Lakers in Kobe's first year. And I remember that first championship in 2000.
Yep, I was there.
You know, very, very boisterous and active locker room, as you remember. And we get these guys about an hour and a half, 2 hours after they win the championship, we get them in a portrait setup. And to say that they were a little bit lit at that point is an understatement, but the young Kobe Bryant came in and he was feeling no pain. We had a lot of fun. It made some really timeless photos for that day. It was great.
And remember when we won that championship, we all got kind of locked into Staples, you remember? Because
that's
there
right.
was somewhat of kind of riots going on.
There was
police
a riot.
Cars were on fire.
Yeah.
I remember we were staying put for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
I forgot.
I didn't know that.
We were down in the chairman's lounge with, you know, Dr. Buss and everyone, and we were there for a while. But we didn't care. We won.
Sure,
right?
Luckily, the alcohol was still running.
Exactly.
You still had it
all hell was breaking loose outside, but we were
right.
fine.
I mean, that's been like the staple of Lakers championships, is every time they win one, the whole city of L.A. happens to riot.
Sure.
Yeah, well,
and then eventually you're probably going to get stuck inside Staples Center.
We did.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was in the forum when the L.A. riots broke out in whatever year that was, and they kept us in the forum, the entire crowd, everybody, and then had to lead everyone out single file out of one exit and one car exit, and we had to stay as west as possible. You couldn't go north, you couldn't go east, you couldn't go south. They made everyone, you know, kind of funnel west. It was really, it was scary.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Now you have taken some, I mean, amazing photos that are just, you know, one of a kind, Andy. I mean, it's.
Thank you.
I mean, and one thing I love about Andy, he'll always like shoot these candids. Like, you know, there's been candids you've shot of me, like when Shaquille had his jersey retired, or a statue, or different things, and he'll get this photo. I'm like, oh my god, I love that, because you know, candids are always just the best. The ones where you're obviously it's better than my iPhone, you know. So, but this is shots that he takes are just, I mean, they're really phenomenal, and he's just respected across not just in LA but across the entire league.
And let's note too, if you've been to Staples, you see, or I guess not everybody sees this, but there's hallways. There's secret hallways, and it's Andy's photos. You know what I mean?
Know. Like,
and so the most prestigious people are walking these hallways, walking Staples Center, and they're all Andy's photos.
Well, it just means I spent more time at Staples Center than I did actually at home.
So, there was a time I was like that too.
You know how it is. Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't be complaining. I'd take that.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you talked about you know, people knowing me, and I know people. I just came from here. I came from Jimmy Goldstein's house.
Oh yeah, I love his house. It's so, oh my gosh.
What
the
a trip!
View, right?
What a
it's
trip!
Really.
Yeah. And he, I'm helping him design this experience that the Hall of Fame is going to do, that he donated actually to the Hall of Fame, the James Goldstein fan, super fan experience. So we, the designers came in, the people from the Hall of Fame, we talked about photos and footage, and it's going to be really, really special. A couple of years down the road, but it's amazing.
Wow, right. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
About Jimmy.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, 2018 Kurt Gowdy reception.
Yeah, I'm just about to
mention that. It's coming up.
I was about to mention that. That was on my list of things to talk about. I mean, none of us are shocked, but
thank you. Yeah, if any of you guys know how to write a speech that's about 4 minutes and sums up my entire life, please go ahead.
Wow. We better start that now. Because you have a lot to talk about.
No, I'm super thrilled, and it's really, it's only the second time that they've honored a photographer and for this particular award.
Second time?
Yeah, it's a print award, but, you know,
so who's
weirdly
the other, who's the other one, Andy?
There's a gentleman named Rich Clarkson, who is considerably older than me, great guy, but he's known as the godfather of NCAA photography. So he's shot 55 Final Fours. You know, I've done 36 NBA Finals. So I'm the first NBA-centric photographer.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, the Hall of Fame for basketball encompasses college women and the NBA, the Nazemith Hall of Fame. So that's why someone who'd be covering the NCAA.
So
but Andy's NBA, so it's like it's a league of his own.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. Well, you've taken some of the most notable photos. I mean, if you know anything about photography, you know about Andy Bernstein, so it makes sense. We're so happy you're
on. And if also you go to Laker games, he's a staple item that's always there. You kind of know. Like, if Andy's not running around the court, I don't know if there's a game.
Sometimes
I just run around the court and nothing's going on. You know, I come in the afternoon, I just run around. You know.
And you're like a little phantom bit. But I do see you. Whenever I'm watching, you know, TV or even during the Kobe retirement, people are just like at his side.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's all about the airtime, as you guys know.
There
so, you,
go. You
know, pictures might speak a thousand words, but got to get that airtime.
Now, how do you file all these, like, photos and how do you make sure to, like, because I know as retirement, I'm like, I got to, like, email Andy because he's got some candids of like, for me with Shaquille and Kobe and stuff. And then I'm like, I wonder if he logs them in where it's easy to get, or is it going to be like, mind you, I have to go through like 10 computers.
Well, you know, honestly, guys, and I'm going to talk speak like a dinosaur here. It was a lot easier in the film days because we would take all the photos of you, put them in a slide page, in a filing cabinet, and then I would know where it was. Now there's like 900 hard drives, there's files all over the place. So, you know, it's impossible.
So it is really. So it's hard to.
It's hard, yeah. I mean, I have a couple of interns who are continually scanning old stuff and digitizing, but also trying to just collate stuff from everywhere. I mean, I have stuff on Getty Images, at NBA Photos. In our files, you know, emails that I send that don't necessarily end up anywhere except in an email to you. Well, if I need to find a photo of you, how am I going to do that? So I have to now bind those emails, put them into a folder, into a file, and then stick it on a hard drive.
Sure.
Then remember what hard drive it's on.
So, so someone comes to you and says, hey, we're doing this book and we need X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It's going to take a while
for
you to figure out.
It's amazing you say that because I just finished this experience with Kobe for almost 2 years. We've been working on a book together. And the book is coming out October 23rd. It's called The Mamba Mentality, How I Play. There it is. That was good timing there.
Love.
Shout out to Marissa.
And it was exactly that particular scenario because half of his career was pre-digital. Yeah. So we had to go back and sort of recreate.
And some of those would be great photos as
well.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. And the NBA has done a great job with Getty and has scanned probably, you know, the top 15, 20%.
Okay.
But this particular book was a deep dive into Kobe's kind of mindset and how he thinks. Mm. So I had to rely on some great editors back in New Jersey at the NBA Photos office. My memory, the writer who was amazing, who knew a lot about my photography that I didn't remember. And we had to kind of dig deep into the folders and the files and find those photos.
Now, did Kobe look through them and say, nope, not this one?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know how Kobe is, so I'm sure he was very selective of what he wanted.
Just a little bit involved. No, he was totally involved. Right. And what was great was it was a true collaboration because, you know, I was fortunate to document 20 years of this guy's career from first. I took his first professional Laker picture and his last professional Laker picture. Wow. And, you know, barely 300,000 photos in between. And I don't know if you'll ever see that experience again with one photographer, with one athlete, with one team, you know, one city. So there was a lot of trust there, and there was also a lot of conversation about how he wanted the book, what he wanted the book to get across, which was really pulling back the Mamba mentality, like getting into his head, how he prepared for games, how he took care of his body, how he recovered from injuries, you know, the Achilles injury. I mean, not too many guys could come back from that at the level that he came back at it at his age. Yeah. And then, of course, the craft of basketball, like how he matched up, how he dissected every single player that he ever played against. He knew every nuance about every player.
Yeah, that's why he was the best.
And having to show that in still photos is challenging.
Right. And so this comes out in October.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the final product?
Oh, thrilled.
Okay.
Thrilled. In fact, I'm getting the first copy. I wish I had it today, but I'm getting it tomorrow.
Wow. We're all going to buy it. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, there's going to be an event. It hasn't been decided yet, but early. The book release is on the 23rd.
Oh, amazing.
Kobe's going to do a couple of book signings, which haven't been announced yet. And then the Lakers are actually going to do an event early in the season to honor the book. So that's cool.
So good, Andy. Wow. Congrats. Well, and that's something that we need to speak about is that you have garnered so much respect and admiration for your clients. I mean, let me list this off, you guys. Adidas, Nike, Pepsi, Paramount Pictures, American Express, Kings, Dodgers, Lakers, Clippers. Like, there's nothing you haven't
shot.
Don't
forget the Sparks.
And the Sparks, yes.
And the LAFC, the new soccer team.
Oh, yeah. I got to go to that stadium, by the way.
They are so,
that's the thing is your list is just so long.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean,
I think the biggest thing, though, is the respect of the athletes. Because, you know, I mean, working with athletes my entire career, you know that, you know, they can be very, I don't know what the word is, finicky about who they let into their circle, who they let.
Selective.
Yeah, and especially Kobe, Shaquille, you know, it's so you kind of had to, you know, for you to be able to know that these guys completely, you know, trusted you in capturing, you know, these different moments, it has to be a little humbling at times, right?
Yeah, no, it's very humbling, and but that has kind of fueled my career, and that's what I, you know, I pride myself on these relationships that are built on trust, but also mutual respect. Like, they respect what I do. You know, that's from day one, Kobe actually got it that I needed to do what I had to do. And I go back to very early in my career with Pat Riley, who, you know, is a very young photographer, very aggressive. I'm a Brooklyn guy. Right. I don't take no for an answer. And I kept going into Pat's huddle, and he kept shoving me out with very, very colorful language, I must say. And after like three or four games of this, during, you know, warm-ups and then, you know, pregame and then timeouts, whatever. He calls me over during a pregame and he just goes, come over here, kid. I said, he says, and I'm going to kind of temper this down. He says, why the heck do you want to keep coming in my huddle? What's going on with you? I said, well, coach, you know, people want to see what's going on. Like,
birds,
you know, they get, they don't want to be on the outside looking
in.
They want to be on the inside. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, okay, that makes sense. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you one chance only. And if you screw it up, you're never coming back in. And I did it that game.
That game, actually.
And I said to him afterwards, I said, coach, was I okay? He goes, did you come in the huddle? And I said, perfect.
Exactly what you need.
I love it.
Yeah, so it all worked out.
Right, and that's true. Like, he is, like, in and out and going around, and it's
well,
crazy.
I'm just a little guy. I could get in and out, you know.
So are you looking forward to shooting LeBron? I know you probably shot him during the finals, because I know you don't just do Lakers. You actually do the NBA finals as well and some of the playoff games. So is that going to be interesting to maybe capture some of – LeBron's later years now.
Oh,
his career.
I'm super thrilled. I mean, this is like a rebirth for me, and I'm happy for him as a person. You know, he obviously could have gone to a lot of places. He could have stayed in Cleveland. He decided to come out here. He has incredible respect for the Laker brand and the history of the Lakers. And you know, having Magic Johnson there and Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka. I mean, you couldn't have a better management team there.
Sure.
And from my standpoint, I mean, to be able to shoot LeBron every home game, I mean, I
wow, that first home opener is going to be
but
something.
Isn't it kind of more exciting because like you know we talked about earlier in the show, you know, the past four or five seasons been kind of
so
now it kind of brings a little more excitement.
Oh, there's so much buzz
obviously
right
Staples
now.
But to you now be able to, you know,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, different. Somebody was telling me last night that the ticket prices are just
they're through the roof, you're just adding zeros on the I've given up being able to go to that game.
It's crazy, but to have the buzz back, you know, and the Lakers have always been the Lakers, even when they were kind of down. There's been a couple of periods over my 36-year career, but to have them not just relevant, but to be talked about front page.
They still are, regardless any amazing. Sport in LA. It's still the Lakers. Yeah, it's Lakers
town. So great. I love being around those guys. Yeah.
So what is what else is coming up besides the book? You have other books you've written as that people can get now.
Right. I did a book with Phil Jackson. Documenting the 2009-10 Lakers season called Journey to the Ring, which was a wonderful experience working with the Zen Master. And, you know, a whole different collaborative effort with Phil than it was with Kobe. Both great, but just different. And I've had a couple of books of my own over the years, and I've contributed to basically every book the NBA's done since I started there, which they used to do a commemorative book after every championship, which I don't think they do anymore. But
they did. Big one, the big coffee table books. I have them, yeah.
Yeah, and they did the NBA 50 book, which was amazing.
Yep.
I think we're coming up to NBA 75 now. So I'll have to contribute to that, I hope.
Now, why did your career start in, like, why basketball? Why not? I mean, I know you've covered other sports, but why was there that passion for the NBA, not the NFL, not the NHL, not the MLB?
No, that's a great question. I grew up in New York. I was a huge sports fan, but as a hockey fan mostly.
Were you?
Yeah, I grew up a hockey fan.
The
Rangers were my team.
Okay.
My dad had season tickets, and his dad before, and my grandfather. So I went to almost every Rangers home game from 8 years old to when I went to college. And that was the way my dad and I bonded, and that was my love. I was never going to play hockey. I was never going to be the shortstop for the Mets. You know, I was the littlest guy in the neighborhood. But I love sports, and I love photography. So I thought, what better way is to combine the two
of course.
I can have both loves in one place, and I get the best seat in the house. So, you know, can't go wrong.
And then keep going. Elaborate. So then
I moved out here from Massachusetts, and I went to Art Center College of Design just down the road here in Pasadena. And I was introduced to a couple of Sports Illustrated photographers who took me under their wing. And I was able to get my foot in the door at the Forum, kind of more Kings-oriented than Lakers, to be honest. But I started shooting some basketball, and the PR guy at the time, 1982, going back to, prehistoric times, mentioned to me, hey, the NBA's having their All-Star game, they didn't say weekend, game, here in February, 83. Maybe they need a photographer, I can introduce you. And I'm like, yeah, I was going home, actually, to visit my family at Thanksgiving. I said, yeah, I'll reach out. You know, I wrote an actual letter,
People don't do that.
They don't have a letter. Like, you write it, you put an envelope
stamp it.
Goes in a box, and somehow it ends up on the other side of the
country. No, I'm still looking at you confused.
And the guy wrote me back. He said, sure, come in. You know, it's like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I mean, who's even in the office? So I went in, and I had my little meager portfolio, and he looked at me and said, so let me just understand something. You live in L.A.? I said, yeah. He said, so we don't have to travel you, right? We don't have to feed you. We don't have to, rent a car, put you up, and we'll pay you, $35. I was like, okay, I'll do the All-Star game. He said, we didn't even think of having a photographer. And they honestly didn't, and it was just a game. That particular that was the end of the solely just the game.
Right.
The next year in 1984 it became a weekend. And I don't know if you
And
guys,
do you remember that time?
Like, oh,
you remember
this whole thing? Okay. But I'm asking you a trivia question. What is that 1983 All-Star game famous for? That is not basketball.
Oh.
All right. A lot of people know this, after I tell them, they say, oh, that's right.
83.
Yeah, 83. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint.
And it's not basketball.
I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a hint.
Has to do with... the national anthem.
Right. And who sang it?
Hold on. I know
I'm too young for this.
I know that. Hold on.
Yeah, so am I.
No, I know it's not.
5.5 minutes long?
Yeah, it's... I can't I'm blanking on his name. I see his face right
Starts
now.
Starts with an M?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye. Right?
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, thank you. I could see his face.
Winner.
I just, yeah.
I have nothing.
Yeah, I could see his face, but I just couldn't.
You guys
his
have
name
to
out.
Google.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It was voted the most iconic national anthem. Yeah. In the
history. Do you remember Fergie saying, "I kind of wanted to." Yeah.
Right.
Somehow
channel.
She said she went. Yeah. She did not, but she wanted to. She said.
No, but I felt that she did.
You
and,
do?
And she took a lot of heat for that national anthem, and I was.
She
remember
did.
Marvin Gaye's.
I thought it was bad. And
well, I. I
it's
don't
hard
know.
To say.
I think it, but anytime you say I'm gonna channel
but
this
well, you
person,
want to say you
like,
want to channel Whitney Houston during Olympics or Marvin Gaye you're gonna fall short. But,
Amen, sister.
But I tell you, it was the most auspicious way to start my NBA career was that particular
How did
moment.
I pull that out? I knew it was something about
there
that.
You go,
but, yeah.
So
perfect.
Proud of you. Well, and you photographed so much. Can we talk about how hard, like, even hockey is to photograph?
Oh,
is there a sport?
Yes, because you can't run around.
No,
like
no,
a, you know?
You, but you are phenomenal. You always have that puck in the picture.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as you know, hockey is a little fast.
Yes. Is that the hardest sport
to photograph? Yeah, because we're limited to a whole, like, is this big. And the lens is that big, so you really have no lateral movement. You have to anticipate everything, and I'm shooting, on top of that, I'm shooting with a set of strobes, big flashes, that I can only take one picture every 4 seconds. So I can't shoot, you know, a sequence, I can't shoot a motor drive. It's like you shoot, you have to count to four in your head, then you shoot again. Because these flashes, you know, they flash, and then they have to recycle back up. So if you shoot during that four-second period, you blow them up, and then you're,
you
might as well pack up
we
and
don't
go.
Know, you guys.
Wow. Okay.
But when you watch a game or you watch a replay, you'll see these flashes going off.
Yes.
And to the naked eye, it looks like it might be fans in the stands or whatever, but that's actually these big strobes.
It's your strobe.
So next time you're at any arena, Staples or whatever, look up during a game and you'll see these giant flashes going off. Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do other photographers have access to that, though?
Well, back in the day, if Sports Illustrated was really the only entity that did it for a long, long, long time, and then everyone else got on the bandwagon. So at one point at the forum, we had like six different sets going off. And the TV people went nuts because replays were like whited out completely. And there was it was impossible.
Yeah.
So the NBA limited it back down to four sets. And now there's really only us, NBA Photos, doing it.
Right. Oh, is there any sporting event that you have not covered that is on a bucket list of yours?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't been to, like, the French Open or Wimbledon.
No, I want to go to Wimbledon, too.
I'm going to the U.S. Open just as a fan for the first time in my life. Next
Just a fan. Fine. You're not going to be shooting.
Yeah,
okay.
My friend invited me, which is great. I would love to shoot the Monaco Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know. Who wouldn't?
No, I mean... But that's always during, like, the NBA Finals.
It's right during the Finals, like, I know.
Yeah, so one day.
Yeah, I'd like to see you in IndyCar, Andy. Let's get some racing in there. The Monaco will work.
Put, like,
that'll
a GoPro
do.
In my head. Figure
so
out.
Have you done the Super Bowl? And
I did.
Okay.
I did. I did do the I did a few, like, three Super Bowls. Yeah, there's stories about all of those. Mm. But, yeah, I snuck into one. The
you
first
did.
One I did, yeah, was at the Rose Bowl.
Okay,
no
yeah.
kidding.
I snuck in. I actually had a ticket, but I snuck in onto the field, and really crazy story. But back
what did
then,
you do? Like, put on a fake one of those fake vests
no,
and kind of pretend
they didn't
you're
even
part
have
of
vests
it.
In those days. This was the Miami, I believe it was Miami and Washington. That was the famous John Riggins run.
Okay, right.
And anyway, I had all my two cameras on me, and I just walked down to the field very, very early. And a couple of photographers, friends of mine that actually worked for, they saw what I was doing. They just sort of protected me the whole game. I mean, you could never get away with that now.
No, never.
Oh. And every time, like, the security guy, they had, like, one security guy came down checking credentials, I go to the other side, you know.
And you act like you're working. And you act like you're supposed to be there. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
You act like you're supposed to be there and you know what you're doing. They kind of usually won't really say much.
Yeah, exactly. So the kicker to the whole thing was that I got this great picture of Riggins, like, you know, shedding the defense and I – I had the wherewithal to submit it to the NFL, and they actually published it in their magazine. So
Wow, and you weren't even credentialed?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, it actually happens.
Living the dream right there.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. I love that. Now, did your house, do you have a lot of your photographs up in your house? No.
I have one picture my wife allows me to have in the house.
And what is that? Of you and her?
I don't know if I believe that.
It's true.
Have you been to my house? No.
Outside of it, but not inside.
But this one photo I shot right after the 2009 championship.
Okay.
Phil and Kobe are hugging, and then they break the hug, and in that instant, I took this picture. I was literally like that close to them, and it was a very paternal photo. Like Phil is looking at Kobe like a proud dad, job well done. Kobe has this amazing look on his face. Yeah.
Is it this one? We're trying to pull it up. We're gonna bring it up for you.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. And you know, I have kids, and they were teenagers. Now they're not teenagers anymore, but when they were together, teenagers. And
is this it?
That was the moment. Yeah.
Right.
But it's right at.
I remember that photo.
Like an instant after that.
Wow.
So, okay. Anyway, that's not my picture, but that was the moment that it happened.
That happened. Okay.
And so when our kids were acting up and we couldn't get through to them anyway, we'd like stand them in front of that picture and say, "You see that? That's respect. If those guys can get along,
this is how you guys can get along.
And it actually worked.
And that's the only photo you have in the house.
That's the only photo. Wow. That's the one.
Right there?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting chills. Yeah. Andy, your photography is just untouchable.
So, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, that's the moment. But it's just everything in that photo, the pandemonium going on behind them.
Yeah.
You know, they just won the championship. And, I mean, look at Kobe's face. Everyone counted him out. This is 2009.
Right.
No one said he would ever win a championship without Shaq. Mm-hmm. Phil wrote a book saying that he was uncoachable. And then, this moment happened, and it was a beautiful moment.
Redemption at its finest.
It's just an incredible moment in time. I was lucky to be able to get it.
Mm. And you've taken some great photos of the late Dr. Jerry Buss, too, that you have from back in the Showtime days.
Oh, yeah, I love Dr. Buss.
I mean, great photos.
Yeah, he was amazing. He always welcomed me and always had a nice thing to say, you know, and of course that was passed down to all his kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been friends with all of them.
That's the first time I met you was from Jerry.
Yeah.
And he said to me, if you ever need any photos, just email Andy. I just met him. I'm not going to email Andy. Hey.
Yeah. Dr. Buss.
And then I started emailing you.
He was hilarious because every time I had to do a team photo, and of course he would
And Jerry's in the middle.
In the middle. Every single time he'd come in and he'd tap me on the shoulder and says, "Where do you want me to sit this year?"
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I think in the middle, Dr. Buss, you know, like
so
holding the ball.
So you organize where, I think it's important for people to know that. Yeah. So you organize where everybody is in the picture.
Yeah, well, I worked with the PR person, John Black, in those days. Sure. You know, that's Allison or whoever it is, you know, that I'm working with. And we, you know, it's very well choreographed. It has to be in size order and that kind of stuff. And but he was
Jerry was always in the middle with his hands on his lap. Yeah. Very cute.
So one time he came in and he had a button that was open, like right here. And I looked at John. John looked at me and John says, "You tell him." And I'm like, okay. And I just went up to him, like adjusting the ball, which didn't need adjustment. And I said, "Oh, Dr. Buss, that button. Maybe, you know." And
brilliant.
Oh, yes, of course, I'll get
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. Yeah, there's nothing you can't do.
He was always so gracious and just wonderful to be around.
So this next photo, where's LeBron going to be?
I know. Thank you. I was just going to ask that.
I don't think Magic's given up his seat, though.
No, I don't think so either.
LeBron doesn't get to go right in the middle?
Yeah, well, we used to put Kobe right behind in the middle, so I think LeBron hits that spot.
How are you feeling about that competition, though, that L.A. has created between Kobe and LeBron? I mean, what's going
to
happen there?
I don't buy into that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
The first guy who tweeted after the deal was Kobe. I mean, you know, he was thrilled.
He did say he was happy.
You know, he bleeds Laker gold.
People want conflict.
So, yeah.
You know?
People love that conflict.
I don't
Kobe,
see that at all.
LeBron.
And were you surprised, Andy, I'm sure you heard about how a couple of the murals that were of LeBron have been defaced.
Yeah,
and...
A friend of mine actually said he went to the one in Venice the other day.
Yeah, it's still... right down the street from my house because I'm in the marina and I can see it. And it's like...
I don't get that at all.
Awful. No. It's horrendous.
And did you hear what Jeannie said? Jeannie said, it was really cute what she said. She said, "Oh, I didn't realize there were so many Celtic fans living in Los Angeles."
Right. Yeah. Yeah, she's right. And I think it's terrible. terrible. I mean, yeah. people should just unite and enjoy it, but who knows?
Embrace it. It's going to make fun.
Especially because it's someone's mural that they spent a lot of time on.
You shouldn't deface art like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was right of them to deface it, but from your standpoint, do you think LeBron should be put on murals with all the Laker greats?
Sure.
You do, Andy, even though he hasn't really earned it yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Already?
I do.
I mean, you put that
uniform on, that means something, and he has earned the right to put that uniform
Fair
on.
Enough.
And Fair enough. His body of work speaks for itself.
So. But he hasn't won a championship
That's
yet.
All right. It'll come.
He hasn't played a game with him yet. No, but I love Andy's perspective. So we did argue that it was too soon for this just like king of LA thing.
Right.
But you're right. Like his body of work has spoken for itself. Bonnie Jill. She's not the biggest
not
LeBron fan.
I'm not a LeBron fan, Andy. I'm trying to keep my composure because I'm so close to the Buss family and the Laker organization. So. Yeah, but no.
Well, maybe he'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Now, do you know him personally? Will you be able to get right in and start doing what you normally do?
100%. Yeah, I had to earn my way in with him.
He's very selective in who he lets in the circle.
You know, I shot his first game that he played in Sacramento.
Wow. Did you really?
With Cleveland, I was there his first game, and all along the way, and I didn't really know him, and I always sort of treaded lightly around him, like an all-star or whatever. But then we got to the 2008 Olympics, and you know, Kobe was on that team, and I guess LeBron saw me and Kobe just interacting for a few days.
So he knew you were okay.
Yeah, so I go to a shoe launch that he did in Beijing, and the NBA sends me to be the guy, you know, to shoot him in the green room and all that. And I'm in the green room, and Maverick Carter, his right-hand guy, was about to introduce me. He says, "Oh, this is Andy." He goes, "Oh, I know who he is. He's Kobe's guy. He's good." And I'm like, "Okay."
That's so special.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's special.
Yeah. He's always been incredibly gracious. And I got to tell you, one of the greatest moments of my career, not just with him, was the NBA assigned me to shoot President Obama's first inauguration.
Wow.
The Cavs happened to be in L.A. at the time, waiting to play the game the next day.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the Cavs or Miami, whatever team he was on at the time.
Okay.
2009.
I think that's Miami.
Yeah, that might have been Miami.
So he's in the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in a big suite. He's got his kids with him, and the kids are crawling all over him. Obama's getting inaugurated on the TV. LeBron's sitting on the sofa. It was one of the greatest moments ever. I mean, the most historic moment, you know, and politically,
and you captured all of that.
Yeah, it was super cool. So we have that sort of bonding.
That's a neat story, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
Now, Andy, I know that you're actually a sports fan, but when you're shooting these games, are you able to kind of like, I mean, it sounds, you know, stupid, but do you know what's going on? Are you keeping up with the game or are you just shooting and trying to get the best shot? Or are you following, what I'm saying?
Here's the deal. If I see it happen, it means I'm not doing my job. So I have to actually be shooting, because when you click the shutter, you're not actually seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw it happen, then I missed my shot.
Wow.
So I have to stay really locked in, sort of tune out everything else and just do my thing, and then
relive it through the photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, or you know, go home and watch SportsCenter or do whatever and see my photos online or whatever it is and say, "Wow, that was cool." That
do
was
you
a good
constantly
moment.
Critique it though? Do you ever look at your photography and say, "Okay, I love that," or are you just like, "Oh, I wish there was"?
No, I don't really critique it. I just sort of regret if I miss something, and if I miss something because I wasn't in the moment, then I really am down on myself. If I miss something because a referee was in the way,
or you were on the other side of the court,
or God forbid, you know, you get out of focus once in a while, or just don't pick the right moment to shoot. But if I'm doing my job and I feel good about it after the game, you know, I'll take whatever I got and what I didn't get and be able to be at peace with it.
Wow.
And I've seen you in action. I mean, it's not like he's just shooting. And I mean, you're like from pregame to, you know, the warm-ups. I mean, everything. He is like in there, like back and forth running around. I mean, it's not like an easy gig.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had this reputation of being somewhat aloof. Because photographers tend to like sit and chat during the game, and they're chatting, you know, whatever. And I don't talk to anybody. I just like do my job.
That's why I would say hi, Andy, and then you just kind of wave because I know you're in the zone.
Yeah, and they're like, I got guys next to me just complaining or talking, like whatever.
Right.
You have a job to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's why you're one of the best.
Well, I just don't want to get caught talking to this bozo
while something's going on.
Blake Griffin is dunking over my head.
Yeah. So. And why would you? You're there to capture these moments. So why would you? Yeah.
Well, getting more into basketball talk. Andy, what is your thoughts on this team and all the different personalities and how the chemistry is going to, how it's going to do on the court?
That's the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Magic, there's got to be some reason to the madness of what he did and what he and Rob are building there. I see a lot of similarities with what Magic was used to, for example, with Derek Fisher being an incredible point guard who wasn't looking for his shot all the time. And now Magic's bringing in Rondo to do that for LeBron. Now, Rondo is not a shoot-first point guard. Where, you know, maybe that was a difficulty between LeBron and Kyrie, where Kyrie was looking for his shot. LeBron needed the ball. So, you know, and then bringing in some veteran guys who, you know, Bob McAdoo was a veteran back in the day. Michael Thompson. I mean, these are guys who...
Speaking of Michael Thompson, you did hear what Michael said, right?
No.
He's a friend of both of ours, that Clay will be a Warrior for life and retire with the Warriors.
Why wouldn't he? What a great gig that is.
But I love that he said that, and you know, a lot of people thought that he would test the free agency market next summer, but he is going to stay with the Warriors, and I thought that was great that Michael actually said he will stay with the Warriors.
Oh, he's quoted. I pulled his quote, too. He's not interested in contract. He's staying.
Yeah, they have a great thing going up there. It's going to be interesting to see how that chemistry and dynamic works.
I mean, it's going to be nice to see if the Lakers can finally push for a playoff spot, but I think people who are educating basketball know they're not going to win the NBA Finals.
Well, you know maybe,
they still have, you know, a lot
maybe.
Of...
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. No, maybe not, but it's
maybe.
Moment in time, but, you know, give them a little time.
No, not this season, I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to still take on the Warriors and the Rockets.
Even with the Warriors, too, they're really new. Like, it's a lot of new faces and a lot of personalities in that locker room with guys like JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson and Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
Ball. It's a lot of...
They got some personalities.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to surround LeBron, if you look with J.R. Smith, with people who have a high basketball IQ and know what they're doing and have good shot selection. So, like, they're probably going to need maybe a year or two to get it all clicking. And these guys are all on one-year deals. But, like, even then, I think the Warriors have, like, their, like, five-year lifespan. It might be hard in this four-year contract with LeBron with the option. I don't I'm a Clipper fan.
Yeah.
And I don't really like the Lakers.
My son is too. So
Good for your son. Did you see how he went? My son is.
But I don't think the Lakers are going to get one anytime soon if the Warriors stay like this.
Yeah.
Even the Rockets,
too.
They just got Melo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we toss a quick question from the chat? Because the chat is alive. We have a chat going on. They love you.
Really?
Thank you for being here. One person asked if you've ever been bowled over by an athlete. We do know the answer is
yes. I'm sure he has many
Four
times.
Four stitches right here.
Yes. Is that the worst one?
James Harden. Yeah, I got to get him to sign it. No, I've had other ones, but this is the most recent during the conference finals.
Finals.
Oh, nailed me. Just nailed me.
But he also wants to know, is there a moment in sports history that you wish you would have photographed?
Oh, wow.
That's a really good question.
I would have liked to have been there when the Brooklyn Dodgers finally won the World Series and beat the Yankees.
Right.
Because I grew up in a Brooklyn Dodger house. You know, they loved the Dodgers and hated the Yankees. I still can't mention the word Yankee around some of my family. My dad literally forbid me from bringing a Yankee baseball card in the house. So
it's like my dad with the Dodgers because we're Giants fans.
Yeah,
same thing.
You go. Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy how it's so passionate.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably say that would be the number one moment, I think.
Good one. Yeah. There you go, Bernard X. Thank you.
Now, you know, talking still about NBA, I don't know if you saw this, Andy, or if you guys saw, but recently Kevin Love talked about his depression, and they're talking about a lot of different guys that have these mental health problems.
DeMar DeRozan.
And Jackie McMullen is actually doing a five-part series on ESPN and talking about these different guys that are actually going to speak about some of their issues, including even some former NBA guys like Paul Pierce and so forth. What are your, I mean, do you have any kind of input on that or insight?
Oh, absolutely,
You know, because you know a lot of these guys personally.
Absolutely.
As well.
I think that the more awareness and...
I think it's great.
It's fantastic. And I started a new platform called Legends of Sport. And, and part of the mission of Legends of Sport is to celebrate the accomplishments of iconic athletes and moments and teams and venues and personalities. But
Beautiful.
Also get, and what I do on my podcast is get into the person and understand like where they came from, what they're dealing with. Like we had Kirk Gibson on, you know, to talk about his iconic home run, which I actually shot in 1988 working for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Wow.
And we spent most of the podcast talking about Parkinson's and his battle with Parkinson's. we had the great Amy Alcott, the great golfer, and she talked about how she was a loner as a kid, and that the golf spoke to her. It was a very solitary sport. So we're going to dig deeper, and we're going to hopefully get some athletes on who've had some trouble post-career and what they did to get themselves back. We're talking to experts in recovery, medical people, all kinds of people who can give us an insight as to what these guys go through once they retire.
Right. Because these are current guys, too, that are dealing with depression. A lot of people don't realize you could be on top of the world with your career, making money, have family. It doesn't mean that you still don't have depression problems.
So,
you know?
True.
So I think it's great that Kevin Love is kind of the face of this.
Yeah,
and he's really opened up.
I agree. I mean, look at Michael Phelps. You know, very... A very... public fall from grace.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, look what he's doing by raising awareness and being open about it. And we don't need to push things under the rug anymore. And it's going to help somebody else.
Thank you. It's going to help. Because, you know, people have that stereotype of, oh, crazy. It's not crazy.
It's not crazy.
It goes deeper than that.
I mean, Mike Tyson, you know, people think he was crazy to basically piss away $350 million. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really crazy.
No.
It's because he had stuff he had to work out.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And he didn't really have the resources.
Sure.
He had the money, but he didn't have the people around him to help him find those remedies and those that fix.
And it's nice that people can relate and be like, okay, if this superstar athlete has these problems, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, and DeMar DeRozan has been quoted saying...
He's one of them, too. And Channing
Frye.
People are
like, oh, you know, you have all the money. Why are you so... Money.
Money doesn't mean
about happiness.
Robin Williams saying, you know, I'm the only one... I can make everyone laugh except myself, you know? So it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, people think that because you're this multi-million dollar athlete, I've got everything made. Well, there's stuff happening behind closed doors, you'd have no idea what's going on. Story of life.
You know, as a parent and having raised three teenagers who are now adults, I mean, you know, you want your kids to come to you and tell you what's going on, what issues they have, what you know, demons they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And some of them can be very serious. And you want to have that be able to have that open dialogue, not just in a family, but also in society.
Right.
So we're, just like you are, just in this conversation, and what I'm trying to do with Legends of Sport is kind of to sort of bring that out and elevate it and let people know that these guys, they made some mistakes, probably weren't their fault, maybe it was, but everyone deserves a second chance in life. And we want to get that spotlight back on those
guys. Create awareness.
Yes. Have you been in some of these pressers where Kevin Love is talking about the...
Okay. Yeah, but I've read his Players Tribune thing. And,
That's the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and kudos to them for running it because, you know, that was a risk. I mean, you know, you don't really know what your audience is, how they're going to react. And we've gotten great response to certain things that we've run. For example, we had Bill Walton was my first guest on the podcast.
Oh,
and, you know, Bill is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But Bill's had like 27 surgeries.
I know.
And we got his back doctor on as the second part.
He spoke at the Pump Brothers event recently.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
About it. Yeah. And I love you. I didn't know about all the 27. I knew a lot,
but unbelievable. And this back doctor was very eloquent and very detail-oriented in how he talked about how Bill recovered and the surgery they did. And we got, you know, emails and people like writing in on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. This has really helped me. I didn't know there would be a solution. If he went through it, I can go through it.
See, and it's relatable and it helps. Yes. Even if it helps one person, Andy, you're doing something.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm thrilled about that. It's all about giving back. At this point in my career, if I can help somebody or raise awareness or whatever, I'm thrilled to do it.
Speak a little bit more about Legends of Sport because we have a couple more minutes before we wrap up, but I want you to dive into this a little bit more where people can find it.
Sure.
You know, and who you're going to have on. And
Legends of Sport is a platform that I started with two other partners. We've been kicking this around for about 9 or 10 years, and it's really to celebrate and document and sort of collate content on the great and iconic athletes, moments, teams, venues, and personalities of sport.
So
this is a great question for you, David. If you know, if you want to learn about... I grew up with the 69 Mets, right? That was my team growing up. I want to teach my kids about the 69 Mets. If I want to teach you, how would you do that right now, right? You'd have to go to Google. You'd have to go Wikipedia. And by the time you hit the fifth link, which gave you pretty much no information, you'd go on to something else.
You get bored.
You get
bored. We have short attention spans nowadays. Right. So we're
young millennials. Yeah, you millennials.
Exactly. So our platform is really to aggregate all of this content into one place, right. Basically one-stop shopping for everything iconic in sports.
I love it. I got to tell my dad about this, too, because I'm a big fan of the old-time eras.
Yeah.
And the gridirons. Right. And I think if you work in sports or an athlete, you should know the history of the game.
Right? Yeah, and so we started with the podcast. We just did our 26th podcast.
Wow.
So you can find that on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. Okay. And then
nice view in the back, not too shabby.
Well, this is from my Lakers show that I do called Through the Lens. That's okay. On the Lakers Spectrum.
Oh, yeah, I know Through the Lens. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And we have Instagram at Great. Legends of Sport, Twitter at LOS Podcast 1.
Perfect.
And we also just started a blog, which is really fun.
Oh, great.
It's called legendofsport.blog.
Okay.
Where we do this day in sports history, as well as
we're so busy, Andy.
A story about this week's guest. So, yeah.
I love it. And I just love that you have done more with your platform than just shooting just photography.
Yeah.
Like,
I love
you
it.
Have expanded, and you have your own personality
that's
as well.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, I honestly never knew I could actually talk to somebody on a cat, on camera or whatever. And I had a great producer when I started doing my my Laker show, who just said, it was with James Worthy, and she said, you and James have been friends since, he was drafted.
Right.
Make believe you're just in their living room
or,
in a bar or whatever. You're having a conversation, and that I've been going with that ever since.
Absolutely.
Well, anything else before we wrap up? Anything else you want to promote? Or where can people find you besides
You can see my personal work on Instagram at ADB Photo Inc.
Okay.
So at ADB Photo Inc. But also, please follow Legends of Sport.
Yes.
At Legends of Sport on Instagram and Twitter. And
and we're looking forward to the book too.
The book.
October.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'll have to come back.
October
20th. Yeah. Have books for all
and
you
we're
guys.
Gonna have Kobe on. We're just waiting till we make our new transition. Right. So we're gonna have Kobe
on
too. So
that would be great. And he's super excited about the book. I saw him. I did a shoot with him last week.
Did you?
And thrilled that we were able to do it together. So it was fun.
Can't wait
to
see it. That's gonna be incredible. Yeah. Give such an inside look at what we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know you got to head off to a Sparks game.
The big Sparks game.
Yes playoff game. Big game.
Right.
So thank you again, Andy, so much for coming down here and spending time
David,
with us.
Becky,
and I thought I knew you, but there's even
applause.
More.
I was like, I could have 2 more hours easily. There's so much conversation.
Well, thank you again for joining us on the Weekly Pass. Make sure to check out all of Andy's amazing work. And we'll be back again next week.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Becky Sotero. See you next week.
Yeah, David Bloom.
Bonnie Jo Laughlin, thank you for joining the Weekly Pass. See ya.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.